To the presidential inauguration from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, along with NPR's Michelle Martin, the host of Tell Me More. Here are the headlines from some of the other stories we're following here today at NPR News. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon toured Israel and Gaza today after the Israeli military action in the Gaza Strip. He expressed disappointment that he could not bring an end to the fighting sooner and promised to send aid to the Palestinians. He also said Palestinian attacks on Israel were deplorable. Also, Italian carmaker Fiat and U.S. automaker Chrysler say they've agreed to form a strategic alliance that would give Fiat a 35% stake in the troubled U.S. carmaker. The deal would give Chrysler access to new markets. Details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. And we'll bring you an update on the conditions of Senators Robert Byrd of West Virginia and Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts, who collapsed earlier today during the luncheon at Statuary Hall after the presidential inauguration. Updates as that news becomes available. Right now, we're watching the start of the inaugural parade scheduled to begin, well, quite some time ago. It just got underway. More than 90 groups started their march down Pennsylvania Avenue, school marching bands, Native American groups, cadets from the Virginia Military Institute, even a group of synchronized lawnmowers. And NPR's Scott Horsley is at the head of the parade in front of the presidential limousine on a flatbed truck. Scott, are you with us?
I am, Neil, and we are moving at a very stately pace along the avenue here. There are Secret Service agents walking alongside the presidential limousine and having no trouble on foot keeping pace with the limousine. As it makes its way from the Capitol to the White House, and there President Obama will step out and into a reviewing stand to watch as you say, the 90-some groups make their way along the parade route.
And how is the motorcade being received by those lining both sides of the street?
These folks are very excited to see it. You can hear some of them cheering in the background. They're in some cases chanting Obama. They've been waiting a long time in the cold, and they are stacked 3 and 4 deep here at the very start of the parade route. I think they'll be even deeper as we get further along. But they are warmed, I think, by the presence now of President Obama. They've been waiting since early this morning, in some cases, to see this. And it's a chilly day here in Washington, although the sky is clear. The sun isn't providing a whole lot of warmth. And the best warming trend they've seen is to see the parade actually come their way.
Have you been able to spot NPR's Linda Wertheimer yet on the steps of the Canadian Embassy?
No, but we're making our way in that direction, and I'll certainly keep my eyes peeled.
Well, give her a wave as you go by, will you, Scott?
And I'm hoping she'll send me some of that Canadian whiskey.
Or maybe some beaver tail soup. Hold the whiskey till later, Scott. Linda Wertheimer, what are you able to see on the steps of the Canadian Embassy?
We can see now that the military units have started to move. We can see the old guard, you know, the folks, the military marching unit that marches in white crossed straps and red coats and tri-corner hats.
Whose barracks are up there on Capitol Hill.
Exactly. And one of the biggest military bands I have ever seen has just passed, although they didn't play anything while they passed. And we're looking at Navy units going by. There are also, of course, military people all along the parade route, along with police, standing at parade rest as the parade passes them. And we're looking back. I'm looking for that flatbed truck and the beast to follow it.
All right. Well, give a wave to Scott Horsley as he goes on by.
I can't wait.
Michelle?
Can I ask Linda a question?
Go ahead.
Linda, I was noticing that it doesn't seem that crowded where you are. People are 3 and 4 deep, but I've seen larger crowds for the Macy's parade. And I wonder whether, given the excitement, given how many people were on the mall, and given how early people were coming out, and I'm wondering why that is. Well, at some point, for security reasons, did the authorities close off access to the parade route?
Well, it's not entirely easy to get from the mall to the parade route. There are two different sets of security that you have to go through. So I think that some people may have just felt discouraged about moving over here. I remember at the last inauguration, when it was at least this cold, the weather seemed raw and terrible. The good many people who were on the mall just completely balked at the idea of going through security one more time to take a place on the outside. So I think that what we're looking at here is mostly people who never got onto the mall, because it is fairly difficult. You can't just walk out between the National Gallery and its West Wing and get here. But what we are also seeing is every sort of wonderful balconies at the above the. We're looking at balconies at the Federal Trade Commission, at the National Gallery. We're looking at all kinds of things that are happening where people are coming outside. We can see people gathered in windows and people on the roofs of some of the buildings gathered around here looking at the parade. So from where I sit, I can see quite a large crowd of people in front of the National Gallery, in front of the Federal Trade, in front of this building. I think that as you go farther along, you may find more of the people who've been able to make their way from the Lincoln Memorial area.
And it seems to be enough room for some of the people to sort of spill down the avenue following the action as they go along, as if they were following a golfer around the links.
But I am struck, though, by the heavy security presence. This is certainly something that was expected. The authorities made it very clear, city officials made it very clear that there would be a heavy presence. They were very strict about allowing strollers, backpacks, and things of that sort on the mall. But that's very different from just a short time ago, Neil. And I do wonder at what point it becomes impossible to have these kinds of large public events, that the security becomes so strict that it becomes less than enjoyable. It's changed in a very short time, and we all know why. We all know because of 9/11. But to see so many people in uniform, at one point there were more people in uniform than there were parade goers there on the mall, clearly getting themselves into position. It's an unfortunate reminder of the times we live in.
And Linda, we were talking earlier this hour about the many times that the nature of this city has changed during anti-war demonstrations, during the Million Man March, as Michelle mentioned earlier. And you were there in 1968.
I was. When Martin Luther King spoke at the Lincoln Memorial, it was like an upside-down version of this, because that was where all the crowd began. But very much like this. Of course, in those days, no security on the mall at any point. But in those days, we had this extraordinary pouring of people onto the mall, and it lasted through the entire day. People were arriving on trains and buses, just as they are now, and they were coming onto the mall. And the thing that I remember about it was that the crowd was the largest group of people that I have ever seen in my life until this day. And they were from the Lincoln Memorial down to the Washington Monument, past the monument, out into the avenues, all the way over to the riverbank on the Potomac side. But it was still a crowd that you could walk through. It had some of the same kind of atmosphere of today, that it was a day that a lot of people were extraordinarily happy to be there and felt pleased and privileged to see what they had seen and to hear what they heard. And as we walked through the crowd, I went from one end of the mall to the other during the course of the afternoon. I saw people I knew of the oddest sort of thing. In a huge crowd like that, to run into people that you know who came in from other towns, it was a remarkable day. And of course, they wildly underestimated the size of the crowd because of, you know, for reasons which I think had a lot to do with politics. But it was huge. It was almost as huge as this. But this is the biggest crowd, it seems to me. This must be the biggest crowd that has ever gathered on this mall.
And we don't have an official crowd estimate yet, but Linda, I suspect you're right. In any case, thank you so much, and we'll, of course, be awaiting your reports later in the day.
Thank you.
NPR's Linda Wertheimer with us from the steps of the Canadian Embassy along the parade route of the inaugural parade. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line, and this is Kavita, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, in New York.
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm, as I was telling the person before, I'm originally from Kenya, and I feel so proud to, today, because President Obama has finally been sworn in and has a connection with my country. I'm at Columbia, his alma mater, and had a chance to watch with students and faculty, and it was just fabulous to watch him standing up there in this huge sea of humanity in front of him, and it was just awe-inspiring.
How many people were there as you were watching?
We were in an auditorium where I normally teach about that can hold, I think, about 200 people, but we had a security guard sort of throw people out because there were, you know, fire marshals came and said there were too many people.
Well, yes, unfortunately, those rules have to be obeyed even at times like this.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you know, I know a lot of your callers have called in and said that they're Americans by choice, and I have been not an American by choice, but today I feel that I would love to be an American, and because Barack Obama is now president, I feel like I can be included and put down roots in this country.
Kavita, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And good luck to you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to, this is Christine. Christine with us from Georgetown in South Carolina.
Hey, Neil.
Hi, Christine.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you all so much. I was in my car almost all day, and so I experienced everything through NPR, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it's our pleasure.
Yeah, and as I was traveling, I told the person earlier, while Obama was taking the oath of office, and then also while I listened to his speech, I was traveling through fields that 150 years ago were being farmed by slaves, and... Wow, I'm getting emotional again. It was very emotional. It was kind of overwhelming, actually. And this morning it was snowing, which is pretty unusual here. And I just looked out across these fields and watched the snow fall and listened to a whole new part of our country's history begin. And it was amazing. It was an amazing, amazing day.
As Juan Williams reminded us earlier today, the mall where so many people were gathered to hear the president speak, well, that was once a slave market here in Washington, D.C., and the president's going to be moving into a house that was built by slaves.
Well, we come full circle that way.
it's been a long and painful and difficult circle, but indeed we did get there. Christine,
yes.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks to all of you.
We have an update for you. A spokesman for the Washington Hospital Center says that Ted Kennedy is being treated there. He is awake and answering questions. And he was taken out of the Capitol on a stretcher after apparently suffering convulsions. The hospital is not releasing details about Senator Kennedy's condition, but says he is awake and is with family members. Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia also left the lunch. His office said the senator was not taken ill. Well, good news then about Robert Byrd of West Virginia. And again, we will bring you further information about the senator, about the condition of Senator Kennedy as that becomes available to us. And let's see if we can go to another caller. Let's go to Gigi. Gigi with us from San Antonio.
Hi, Neil. It's my birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And it was one of the best birthdays I ever had. I really enjoyed it. I was born on the day that John Kennedy was inaugurated, so you can do the math. But I spent it at a champagne brunch with some friends who are three female retired military officers. And the mood was, we were very happy and hopeful, but it was also very sober. I think we all realized how much work there is to do and that the president can't do it all by himself. And they called a friend that they had known in Germany, spoke to her, and told her that they were happy that our crowd on the mall equaled their crowd in Berlin when Obama went there. So very happy day and one of the best birthdays I've spent.
Well, Gigi, again, happy birthday. Thanks for spending part of it with us.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Let's go now to NPR's Andrea Seabrook at Freedom Plaza along the parade route. Andrea?
Hi. We're starting to see the parade is inching towards us. Actually, the formation of police escorts on their motorcycles has passed us already, as well as two big Suburbans who knows what. Yes?
Andrea, let me interrupt you, because we're going to go back further up the parade route to Linda Wertheimer.
Hi. Well, the president is just passing the National Gallery's new wing, and I can see the Secret Service agents walking along beside that enormous new car that they have built for him. You can hear the crowd reacting to the fact that he is right in front of us now.
He is expected to get out and walk somewhere along the route, as almost every president has.
I expect that he will, and I'm not sure it's going to be here, because that's going to slow everything down quite a bit. But we're watching, and everyone here, of course, is hoping very much that this will be the moment when he decides to get out of the car and speak to a few people along the parade route. But we're looking at a very, very long motorcade. I can see the flatbed truck with the press and the camera crews on it passing us now.
And I can see we're watching television pictures here in the studio, and President Obama is on your side of the limousine.
Yes, he is. And he is... The car is just pulling past the embassy now, and they're moving at a very,
I think they'd have to move at a pace that would be consistent with the marchers, yes.
That's right. They're moving very slowly with the Secret Service walking past them. So we're going to be, and we should be able to see him in just a second. Yes, there he is. And the crowd is shrieking, as you can hear.
Well,
Secret Service running ahead of him and then falling back. There does not appear to be that this is going to be the moment where he gets out, although the car is it's coming to a stop. And everybody here is very hopeful that that's what that means, that he may be getting out here. No, I'm not sure that that's going to happen.
Well, we're seeing the pictures from the flatbed truck on which Scott Horsley is perched as well, and they seem to be moving ahead as well, and the limousine is moving ahead, of course, with the license plate USA1 beneath the Cadillac logo. Linda, we'll get further updates from you later.
Okay, thanks very much.
NPR's Linda Wertheimer, and we'd also like to thank Andrea Seabrook, who's at Freedom Plaza. Andrea, we'll be in touch with you as the parade reaches your location throughout the day.
Fabulous. I'm here. Send the beaver tail soup.
Okay. Earlier today, President Obama delivered his inaugural address to an audience of several hundred thousand, at least, on the National Mall here in Washington, D.C., and to, of course, many millions watching and listening across the United States and around the world. He said that it was, quote, time to set aside childish things.
In reaffirming the greatness of our nation, we understand that greatness is never a given. It must be earned. Our journey has never been one of shortcuts or settling for less. It has not been the path for the faint-hearted, for those who prefer leisure over work or seek only the pleasures of riches and fame. Rather, it has been the risk-takers, the doers, the makers of things, some celebrated, but more often men and women obscure in their labor, who have carried us up the long, rugged path towards prosperity and freedom. For us, they packed up their few worldly possessions and traveled across oceans in search of a new life. For us, they toiled in sweatshops and settled the West, endured the lash of the whip, and plowed the hard earth. For us, they fought and died in places like Concord and Gettysburg, Normandy and Quezon. Time and again, these men and women struggled and sacrificed and worked till their hands were raw so that we might live a better life. They saw America as bigger than the sum of our individual ambitions, greater than all the differences of birth or wealth or faction.